Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was having a really good time sitting there this morning and just enjoying what was shared and being edified. And it's just been a blessing. Eli was talking about going overtime, and I thought, inside, I said, well, just go ahead. Praise God. Oh, this has been good. Could we rise again for prayer? God, our Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you have loved us, cared for us. You loved us so much, you send your Son to die for us, set us free from sin. Lord, you loved us so much that you send the comfort of the Holy Ghost to speak to our hearts, reveal your word to us, show us our need. Lord, we're here to turn our hearts to you. Thank you for Jesus and filling that need and that we could see it, and for the blessing of being gathered together here this morning in Jesus' name to hear more of your word and be strengthened and edified together. And just pray that you would continue to move with might by your Spirit in our hearts here today. And God, I pray that you would guide my heart and mind in what things to share and how to share them. And ask for you for the anointing power of the Holy Ghost upon my heart, dear God. And that you would teach us all together here. Pray for your salvation to take deep root in our hearts, and that your Spirit would be a faithful companion in each one of our lives to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. Would you show us the way, Lord? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So last time I was here, I shared a message out of portions of Romans chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. And we talked about justification by faith and about reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And the goal was to look at them together instead of separating them and trying to do one or the other. We are justified by faith. But the scriptures do teach us to deny ourselves, reckon ourselves to be dead. I've been delivered from this. I don't need to do this. And at the end of it, I made a comment that, you know, it would feel really good just to go on into Romans chapter 8. But there obviously wasn't time for that. And I'd like to do some of that this morning, at least look at some of the first verses of Romans chapter 8. if you could turn to Romans chapter 8. In a sense, as I dove into this, I have been reading Romans in my personal devotions for, I think I've been in it for half a year now, almost. I'm not keeping track, but it's been a while. So I've had a number of ruminations over Romans, but I took a little deeper dive into just the beginning of chapter 8 here, and the first thing that sort of happened to me is that I felt overwhelmed. And how do I share all this? So what I'd like to do is read verses 1 through 17, but then try to just focus in on verse 1 through 4 this morning. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I'd like to go back and just read the last couple of verses of Romans chapter 7. Verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. O wretched man that I am, what shall I do? In my mind, I serve God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. What are we going to do about this? He said the answer is in Jesus. Chapter 8 starts out, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We don't walk in the flesh. I've always sort of wrestled with this in my mind. What do you do with this? Well, chapter 8 is clear, but it's answering chapter 7. It's answering chapter 7. We don't walk in the flesh. Now, before we go on, the title here is The Law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. The Law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. I don't know if it's catching your mind or not, but it's a law, okay? It's a law. How many of us like to live under the law? The question is, which one? Which one? Easily we can say, well, the law, and we want to, oh, wait a minute, the law. No, what's law? We want to talk about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you look the word law up, it's law, a regulation, specifically the law of Moses, but it's also of the gospel, or it's a principle. It's a principle. And I'd like you to think a little bit about there's more than one law. In fact, there's a lot of laws. And I'd like you to give me a few. What are some laws? The law of gravity. The law of gravity says, what's going to happen if I let go? It goes down. Why? Because that's the law of gravity. Never will it not happen. It will happen, right? Any other laws? The soul that sins shall die. I don't have that on my paper, but exactly right. The law of aerodynamics. You take off and an airplane flies. And the law of aerodynamics actually defies the law of gravity. Good. Any more? Sowing and reaping. So, how many of us had a garden this summer? Okay. And let's just say, how many of us either planted sweet corn or beans? And you harvested
watermelon.
Thank you. All right. We all know that doesn't work because the law of sowing and reaping says what you sow is what you reap. We know it's going to happen. But now in our lives, the way we live, we tell ourselves we can sow one thing and reap something else. But the law of sowing and reaping is true. Any more laws?
Laws of the land.
And we do better if we obey them, right?
Does faith have a law?
You know, I didn't ponder that one, but there's definitely faith involved here. But there's laws everywhere, right? We live by them. We expect life by them. We know if we do one thing, we will get another. I have none left on my list here. You did well. You got all the ones I easily put down, I guess. But as we look at Romans chapter 8, there's different laws in Romans chapter 8, even in the first verses here. In verse 2, we're looking at the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. And those are two different laws. In verse 3 and 4, we have the law of Moses. In verse 7, it talks about the law of God. And I sort of think the law of God's a little different than the law of Moses. But we have these different laws. Today we'd like to talk about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And actually, I'm calling this part one because there may be more. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, one more law I'd like us to think about a little bit. Just as another example before we go on into it. James chapter 1, could you turn there? James chapter 1, verse 23 to 27. This is talking about the perfect law of liberty. And the reason I'd like to talk about this one a little bit is because there's so much Christianity today that is proclaiming liberty in a false way. It's in a false way. But this is the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1, verse 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto man beholding his natural face in a glass." He is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He beholds his natural face in a glass.
Verse 24 says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and he's like an old person. He straightway becomes a forgetter of what manner of man he was. The older we get, the more easily we forget. But when we're dealing with self, it seems like we get there at a young age. We behold ourselves in a glass and we forget what manner of man we were. Then he says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man's deed shall be blessed. That's the perfect law of liberty. He's not a forgetter about who he is, but rather he responds to it. He continues in it. He's a doer of the work. Then he goes on and gives us a little more insight. Verse 26, if any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. This is not difficult. Today, though, I'd like to talk about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And in this law, it's like a law of the Holy Spirit. It's a law of the Holy Spirit. Some people come right out of their benches hearing me saying that. But when we understand walking with God, and we have His Spirit dwelling in our hearts, and we go through life, and that little voice inside says, do this. No, no, no. That, you know what you did there? That really wasn't the way it should have been. That's the law of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And it's a vital law in the believer. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the Spirit of life. Crucially important, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If we don't have the Spirit of life, we won't have that voice in our hearts. I'd like to just quickly go over a few verses. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said to her in John 11:25-26, says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son of God hath life. Life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. Now I'd like to just start through these verses in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And I'd like to look at verse 1 and then look at verse 2 to 4 in a group, sort of. But I'd like to just step through them. So in verse 1, the first thing we notice is that the believer is not condemned. The believer is not condemned. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord is the answer for the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. When we come to Christ, we come with guilt. We come with the weight of sin. And here he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. There is no condemnation. The word condemnation, no condemnation, means that the believer is not doomed. The believer is not damned. But instead, he's free from the penalty of sin and condemnation of sin. He's not judged as a sinner anymore because he's free from the condemnation, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says, I took your condemnation. It is no longer on you. But he's delivered from the condemnation of death and hell. He's not judged to be unrighteous. He's counted to be righteous. And then the question, why? And that's because he is in Christ. There's no condemnation because he is in Christ. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. He's in Christ. To be in Christ means that a person's faith in Christ places him in Christ, positionally. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in Christ means believing in him puts us in Christ, positionally, as a person. We are placed as in Christ. Christ lived, he died, and he rose again. And when we're in Christ, we live in Christ. We can die in Christ. We can die in Christ now, like Romans chapter 6 says, to die to ourselves. But when we die in Christ. We can have death in Christ today to the flesh and resurrect in newness of life in Christ. And when the day comes that we die and we resurrect, it can be in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says that we're going to have life. That's the law. In Christ, we have life. So to be in Christ means that the person lives, dies, and rises in Christ. Christ is our representative. He's our mediator. You can use different words, like he's our substitute. He's there in our place, but not just in our place. He's our advocate. He's our advocate in life, in death, in resurrection. The person that believes in Christ is identified with Christ and counted and considered to be in Christ. The believer's faith in Christ actually causes God to see us positionally as in Christ. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It's in Christ. Now also we see in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This person that is in Christ walks after the Spirit. He doesn't walk after the flesh. He walks after the Spirit. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means that the believer walks and lives in Christ day by day. This is not a performance. This is not a performance. It's in Christ. It's walking with him. It's in Christ. The true believer lives and moves and has his being in Christ and in his union with him. And to truly believe means we walk it. And to truly walk the Christian faith means we believe. It's not just a religious ritual. And we're willing to lay down our lives, our past sins, our present behavior. As we look at the future, we're willing to lay it down and put it in Christ and trust Him that we're going to walk in it. He has our destiny and welfare in His hands. And everything that we ever hope to be, those dreams, we put them in Christ and say, I will walk in the Spirit and let Him guide my life. So to walk, to live and walk in Christ means that we do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It means that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Or denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's in Titus chapter 2. Galatians 5, he talks about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It also means to live and walk in Christ means that we will abide in Him, that we become as connected and attached to Christ as our body members are connected together as a body, or as the branch is connected to the vine. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. They don't walk after the flesh, they walk after the Spirit. So then looking at verse 2 to 4, I sort of gave this an overheading title of The Spirit Gives Life. The Spirit Gives Life, starting in 2 where the title is from. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus does a whole list of things here. And I'd like to look at those different things. The first one it does is it frees us from the law of sin and death. Reading in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. It frees us. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. That is something that cannot happen any other way. To find freedom from the law of sin and death, the only way to find freedom is through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the only way. The only way, we were talking about laws here this morning, to defy gravity is through the law of aerodynamics. Does anybody know any other way to defy gravity? I don't know another way. I mean, there's all kinds of things been done with gravity, including skydiving and having a parachute open and adjust the effect of gravity. I just thought of one. I don't know, you could heat. Hot air balloons go up. But they're short-lived usually, and they come back down. But the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity. That's how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcomes the law of sin and death. You can't deny it. Just like Brother Eli said this morning, you can't deny it. The law of sin and death is here. God said, when man sinned in Genesis, God did not call some meeting to decide what to do about it. That law was in place. And the consequences is death. There was no way around it. The consequences is death. So, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees the believer from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death means that there's a rule or a reign of death over the sinner. It means that every man dies. Death rules. There's a grip. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees the man from the law of sin and death. If a person has this Spirit of life, he no longer has sin and death. If a person has the Spirit of life, he no longer has sin and death. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. The person that has the Spirit of life is not sinning and dying. We can be very religious and still sinning and dying. But if we have the law of the Spirit of life, we're no longer sinning and dying. But rather, he's living righteously, eternally, here already. He's living eternally here already. I'd like to read a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:22-23 already alluded to this before. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. For the person that has been set free of the law of sin and death. Secondly, we want to notice in verse 3 that the law of the Spirit of life does what the law of Moses could not do. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus does what the law of Moses could not do. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So, what the law could not do, this law of the Spirit of life does for us. But what could the law not do? It couldn't make a man righteous. Why is it that the law could not make a person righteous? Have any idea? Why could the law not make a person righteous? It says here in that the flesh, it was weak through the flesh. Because man's flesh is too weak to keep the law. Doing it in the flesh didn't work. Doing it in the flesh didn't work. No man has ever been able to keep the law of God, not to perfection, not even close. Flesh has miserably failed and come short of God's glory and God's law. And the law of Moses was dependent on our flesh. Therefore, it could not do it. Because of this, all flesh dies physically and spiritually. And therefore, the righteousness and life cannot come by the law of Moses. But what the law could not do, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is able to do. It is able to do that. He can provide righteousness and life. Now let's go into, thirdly, let's go into the second part of verse 3. By Christ, he overcame this law of the Spirit, a law of sin and death, by Christ coming and condemning sin in the flesh. He came, took on our flesh. They couldn't fulfill the law. Jesus came in the flesh. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Let's read this verse again. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned it in the flesh. So, living in denial, Brother Eli was saying, doesn't work. God didn't deny it. He went straight to the issue. And he sent his Son in the likeness of the flesh of man. That's where we're going to need to take care of this problem. Right to the root of it. And there's three different things I'd like to look at in this one. How Christ condemned sin in the flesh. First of all, he pointed to sin and condemned it as evil. Think about Christ. The very fact that he never sinned points out sin is contrary to God and to God's nature. Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, because he rejected it. He said no to it. He said no to it. And he rejected sin to show us how evil it is. He didn't touch it. He condemned it as evil and unworthy of God and man. So first of all, he made it very clear where he's at on sin. I'm not going to take part like happened in Genesis chapter 3. He took a very clear position on it. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away the sins, and in him was no sin. Secondly, I want to notice that he secured righteousness for men. He came with the same flesh that all men are born with. He took on the flesh that had the same desires and passions and the potential to do evil and to do wrong. He took that same thing on. However, he never sinned, not once. Therefore, because that he didn't sin, he could secure righteousness for man. He could cover for the unrighteousness of man. His perfect righteousness covers sin and its penalty. It condemns sin. He condemned sin through the flesh. And because that he condemned sin through the flesh, it is available for us to find freedom from the law of sin and death because of the flesh. He didn't sin. He could die for us. He could secure our righteousness. And by faith in that, through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we find freedom. We find freedom. He condemned sin through the flesh. Therefore, all flesh finds its perfection in his righteousness and perfection. And we can find power to condemn sin in Christ
and live in his righteousness. Okay, let's go on to number three. Here, Christ allowed the law of sin and death to be enacted upon him instead of the sinner. This is how he overcame the law of sin and death. He allowed it to be applied to him, going directly to the root of the issue. Now he's taking our sin, our death, and he's living sin-free, and he's taking our death, who sinned. Man has sinned. The consequences is the law of sin and death. Christ secured our righteousness for the unrighteousness of man, but Christ allowed God to lay man's sin and death upon himself. God let him bear the law of sin and death for man, to experience hell for man. God let him condemn sin and death in his own body upon the tree. And he was the perfect man. He had never sinned. He bore our sins, even though he never sinned. And through that, he overcame the law of sin and death. He overcame it. And then verse 4. Christ provides righteousness in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He provides righteousness for us through justification by faith in Christ Jesus, but by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, he provides righteousness. He credits the righteousness of Christ having lived a sinless life and then died for us. He credits that righteousness to us who believe in Christ, that he is righteous. He's the sinless, perfect Son of God. For those that believe that Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who died for us, we actually believe that and exercise our faith, then we receive his righteousness. And we believe that God accepted him and that his righteousness fulfills what God required. And now we can find freedom in him. And the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God fulfills his righteousness in us. He fulfills it in us, not by us, but rather he fulfills it in us. We can't keep the law, but Christ did. He lived a perfect life. We can't keep the law, but Christ did. So that now we can have the righteousness of Christ. So he did what the law could not do. The law could not overcome the law of sin and death because the flesh of man was weak. But God sent his only Son to come in the likeness of man, in the likeness of man's flesh, to give his life, to condemn sin in the flesh. And now we believe in him and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus actually sets us free from the law of sin and death. It's always a challenge to explain the differences, but let me just make an attempt here again. When we truly yield to Christ,
surrender to Him, God expects us to live a righteous life. But it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And here in these verses, he's clearly showing that there's fruit that comes out of our lives. So now how do I know whether I'm just in a religious way doing works versus walking in righteousness with Christ? And I really think we need to come down to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If that law is working in our hearts and lives, then His Spirit will be working and moving within us. We need the power of the Spirit of God to overcome. We don't get freedom from the law of sin and death any other way. It doesn't work. No matter how hard we try. And there may be even times as we walk our Christian faith that we come up to something. It's like, I'm just struggling here. Well, I need to get a hold of God. We just had some of that happen at home this summer at our tent meetings where people were dealing with things they have struggled with for a long time. It's like, I live in victory, and I go, ugh. And I live in victory, and I go, ugh. And I live in victory, and I go, ugh. And especially some brothers I'm thinking about that really travailed before God. Because we cannot in the flesh overcome. And God gave them a victory they hadn't had before. But I also know, especially one I'm thinking of, is that he's walking very carefully. He's not being careless. The slightest thing comes up that reminds him of that sin, he's opening up and talking about it. And I just want to be crystal, crystal, crystal clear. It's walking with God. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. It actually does. But that means we need to walk a righteous life. We can't just live loosely, carelessly, haphazard. And I want to say this carefully. But sometimes, first I want to say, okay, so we can't do it in the flesh, in the arm of the flesh of man. This clearly told us the arm of the flesh of man is too weak. We won't get it done. But sometimes, we don't have enough, I'm not sure which word to use, oomph, determination, fear of God, you could say grit, holy anger against sin, and there's more things we could say that we say, this is life and death. I have to deal with this. I see it.
So as we look at accountability in our lives, one of the first things that comes up is, where's my walk with God? Where's my walk with God? Is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus alive in me? Is it alive? I've gone through several weeks here where I've just had a harder time. I've had to fight to sense the moving of the Spirit of God in my heart. We face those things. We have to be real with them. And it felt especially good to me this morning just to sit here and listen. It's very refreshing. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is where we find freedom from the law of sin and death. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Just normal people. But God may lead us on in an abnormal journey. I thought that was good. Praise God.